In this episode, my mum, Cynthia, bares her soul about handling difficult news and all the while trusting in God's unfailing love even when her recovery was not looking good.
Hi, this is Cynthia. Thanks for listening in to episode 6 of my story. In the previous episode, I talked about the surgery and experiencing complications which I was miraculously healed from. After a week of the surgery, the bruising and swelling had visibly reduced. The shape of my face began to return. My eyes still had the cling wrap-like filament over each eye. But I at least could start to open my eyes a bit wider as the eyelids are less swollen from the bruising. My post-surgery routine was filled with a lot of rest. I would wake up for brekkie, and then I would spend a few hours immersing myself in prayer and meditation on God's words as I listened to the audio Bible. In the afternoon, I would nap until the kids return from school. I'll have my ice cream with banana and berries for afternoon tea, while catching up with the kids and listening about how their day has been at school. I love hearing about their day, as it gives me a bit of normalcy back into my life. I'd like to think it helps the kids to know that while Mum is recovering from the surgery, she's still taking an interest in what's happening in their world. Just like our God, He takes an interest in our lives. He truly is the master planner and knows just what we need to go through our darkest of days. During our trip, we were staying at my mum's apartment. For some reason, I was looking through the bookshelves and picked out this book called The Release of the Spirit by Watchman Nee. I decided to take it back with me to Australia. This book and other books by Nee will become instrumental in speaking into my situation. When I became visually impaired, my husband bought the audio versions of Nee's books. Within the week of the surgery, I listened to Sit, Walk, Stand. I learned the principles of sitting with my Lord, resting in the completion of the Lord's work on the cross, before walking before men and standing against the enemy. Whilst I was recovering okay outwardly, the not so good news was that my eyesight was not improving. The foggy sight was still there, and I had developed a yellow filter which made everything I see washed out and yellowish. Every morning I woke up and wished the foggy sight would just go, but it would remain. One morning I woke up with immense sadness. I was teary throughout the morning, was experiencing general weakness and breathlessness in spite of adjusting the timings of medication and taking afternoon naps. Later that morning, there was an unhelpful image, a lie from the devil, which seeked to rob my joy that day. I knew that the image was not from God, as it incited fear and distracted me from my recovery. I wonder how many times in our lives do we entertain the enemy's lies and start to believe in it? Why do we give it airtime to fester in us? We can choose to reject it or entertain it. I rang my husband to tell him about the terrible image. The image was a mockery of a God I love and trust. I cried about it, and my husband encouraged me with his comforting words as always. With his encouragement, I chose to reject it. But how? I seemed to have lost the joy of the Lord that morning. I felt prompted by the Holy Spirit to play a song which ministered to me more than 20 years ago. I first heard this song played at a church camp. The visiting speaker talked about how God wants us to transact and exchange our sorrows for the joy of the Lord. I've already received His joy before and during the surgery, and I need it even more now to focus on God's promises to recover. So as I played the song, by Daryl Evans called Trading My Sorrows from the Freedom album on repeat, I recognized that the healing is just not for my body, but for my broken spirit. I sang with all my heart, lifting my hands, trading my sorrows, my shame, my sickness, my pain, and laid them down for the joy of the Lord. I sang, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord." The lyrics continued, "I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure, and his joy's going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning." My husband and I loved this song so much all those years, we even named our son Evan after the singer. I kept singing and declaring the verse my husband had encouraged me with last Christmas, Deuteronomy 33 verse 27. "The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive out my enemies before me, saying, 'Destroy them.'" Wow. Our kids' godmother was praying for me that day, and she saw God fighting the battle for me, and the devil was on the other side. There were a lot of missiles and fire going over my head, and she saw God covering my head to shield me from the blast, so I was not hurt by the crossfire. That's quite a visual picture of what I felt. God's got this. He is Yahweh, fighting the battles for me and driving all enemies out of the city. He has already brought me to a place of safety. Why am I coming out of safety to watch the battle and be hit by unhelpful lies? All I need to do is stay inside and keep safe. The Apostle Paul reminded us in Ephesians 6 verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Before Jesus embarked on his most fruitful 3 years of ministry, he went into the desert for 40 days to fast and pray. When Jesus was feeling his weakest bodily, the devil came at an opportune time to tempt him. That's what the devil revels in doing, taking us down at our weakest point. What I love is how Jesus responded to the traps the devil had placed before him, always through the written word. I thank God that we have the written word in front of us. The written word is the living word. The word of God declares truth and has power over the devil. We already have the victory. You know, on reflection, sometimes our battle is with ourselves, our loyalty for God tested. Can we remain faithful to Him when He is always faithful to us? Can we put our full trust in the Lord when we do not have the answers, when things do not look good, when the outcome is bleak or so it seems? Will we use our spiritual weapon and give praises and thanksgiving as Jesus has already overcome this world? The choice is always ours to make. 9 days after the surgery, it was time for the follow-up post-operation appointment. I had to pray for courage as I was not sure what the appointment will be like with my sight not improving. We met our surgeon again, which was good, but when he continued his checks and I told him about my sight not improving, he was dismayed that the operation did not help me. The head of the department was called in to discuss my case. They compared the pre- and post-CT scans and found that, from an operation perspective, the space made available for the swelling was sufficient. When my husband looked at the scans, he said to me later, "It looked like someone had loosened his belt and his belly fat just poured out in relief." I had to laugh at the imagery. Although my recovery prospects were dim, I'm still amazed by what the surgeon has done through this operation. Both were confounded, though, at how severe my disease has become. Apparently, I'm like the second person they know that the operation has not helped. I have become a case study in the state of Victoria, if not Australia. The eye muscle is really long, and the doctors reasoned that the swelling must be so bad towards the tail end of the muscle that it was still stressing out the optic nerves. Through my tears, I asked the surgeon, what else could he do for me? Seeing him distraught was really sad, as he was disappointed that the operation did not fully help me. He talked through a few options and we all agreed that the next best option was to undergo orbital radiation therapy, and I was referred to a radiation specialist the following week. The news was a bit of a blow to my recovery. I have endured the pain, the scars, the swelling, and the bruises. When we left the hospital that day, our hearts sank, our hopes deferred, our faith tested. As we drove back, my husband and I were too grieved to speak. I put on Chris Tomlin's Never Lose Sight album. We let the songs play, and we cried, and we sang, and cried some more. It is difficult news to receive. Questions on whether the radiation will help, it's anybody's guess, but it's worth a try. My husband, in his text update later, to all who were praying for us, included this declaration of our faith from Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. During the early part of my crisis, every day was a battle. From a grateful heart, I continued to push through with praise and thanksgiving. But it was not easy. Everyone who is praying for me is trusting God for my recovery, and they do this in full confidence. Some days it got to me. I had questions like, "Am I a worthy candidate for your healing, Lord?" I would time and time again remind myself of the countless times I have experienced His unfailing love and grace. So yes, I am a worthy candidate because I am a child of God. He has spoken His promises to me and over me. I receive it in His good time. I always presented my worries to God when I felt overwhelmed. One day, I was trying to praise and sing to God, and God said to me, "Just rest. You're trying too hard and tiring yourself." And so I rested. As I rested, I had a vision of me sitting on a short jetty with my bare feet dangling over the side of a peaceful, clear river. I was reminded of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. This crisis will be the start of my understanding and experience of what it means to truly finding rest in God and stilling my soul before the Almighty. You know, God has never rebuked me for my questions, doubts, and bearing my soul warts and all to Him. He has only shown me love and kindness throughout and lets me cry and groan to Him. His timing is impeccable. He sends different people to pray and comfort me with pictures, verses, and songs when I need the boost of encouragement. If you feel far from God, why not try to talk to Him again? When was the last time you bared your soul to Him? He's always listening. He understands. He wants to help. Let God, the giver of life, be the refresher of your soul.
I hope you've been inspired by Mum's incredible journey. Please subscribe and share this podcast to people you know who will be encouraged by her story.